Well, Charlotte King, as I mentioned, is best known for her accurate prediction of the major eruption of Washington's Mount St. Helens, May 18, 1980. She was a mere 12 minutes off. That's it. This prediction threw her into the limelight and attracted the attention of scientists and journalists alike. Names like Human Seismograph and Incredible Ears soon found their way into print, and soon she was seen on network and independent television shows. Doctors, as well as the military, were perplexed by her unusual ability to hear sounds in the ULF, VLF, and ELF ranges. She began hearing these sounds in mid-May 1976. Charlotte was tested in four states by the scientific and medical communities, and the tests revealed that she could hear in the range under 10 hertz range. Further tests revealed specifically below 2 to 7 hertz. Thus was born what the doctors and scientists who tested her, and they've coined her now, the Charlotte King Effect. She's our guest on Coast to Coast. Hi, Charlotte. How are you? Welcome back.
Thanks, George. Well, thank you very much.
Are you still hearing these types of sounds?
Yes, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Oh, my gosh. How do you sleep because of that?
Well, I keep the TV on 24/7.
And the radio, I hope.
And the radio, yes, and the radio and everything else. But no, the ambient noise does help, but it's still there. And mostly I've learned to put it in the background, so to speak. But when something changes, like a impending quake or an area starts picking up activity, the sound changes abruptly enough that it will alert me anyway.
When Mount St. Helens went, and you were off by 12 minutes, but quite frankly, I think that is very, very accurate. Exactly what happened? Explain to us what you were hearing.
Well, the sounds were just continuous foghorn sounds, which is what I hear all the time. They were just constantly overlapping one another, and with areas to the north, which would be Washington, Canada, Alaska, Aleutians, Japan, the sounds are a single tone, then they create a dual tone, they kind of blend together, and then they come back to a single tone. And that was ongoing as well. And then the migraine headaches were pretty bad, and the vertigo, and the bleeding under the skin on my hands and face.
Oh, my. So you knew something was going to happen. Did you?
Oh, yeah. No doubt in my mind of what was going to happen. I just had to wait until I could time it in.
Did you know where it would happen?
Oh, absolutely. From the first earthquake on the mountain on March 20th of 1980, I knew that my body was in sync with the mountain.
Okay. Now, the earthquake that hit on December 26th that created that very horrible tsunami.
Yes.
Did you hear anything then?
Yes, there was a lot of sound. Of course, there were other large quakes taking place too. But any time there's a large water event, there's a vibratory sound that accompanies the other sounds I hear, and this was definitely water related as far as I could tell. And the other things that happened to me prior to large events, like the muscle spasms and the teeth chattering chills, which is my 12-hour lead time, all of these things came into play at that time.
And again, were you able to pinpoint where you thought something could occur on this particular case?
I had been putting out notices that I was having a lot of back pain, specifically the full upper back and the back ahead, which are primarily Indonesia. I didn't know it would be right at Sumatra, but I figured it would be Sumatra or Jakarta or Java.
All right, now what about the one just a few days ago?
Absolutely. I put out that on the 13th of February.
You put it on your website, don't you?
Yes, I did. Well, I did, yeah. I also have an email group, and I sent it out to over 100 people on the 13th of February that they would have their largest aftershock between,
Sure.
What days were they here? They were the 20th and the 31st of March.
Do you time do you find that these sounds that you hear are timed to full moon or perigee?
No, they don't appear to be.
Okay, interesting.
And with the medical testing and scientific testing I've done, they have found no way to block the sound because they are so low with the ULF, VLF, those type of frequencies. Any time they put me in a booth or a room, that room acts as a high bypass filter, and the sounds are just that much stronger and louder than they were normally.
Are you hearing anything now which would allow you to tell us tonight that something else might be happening?
Well, based on my own personal concept of how I put together aftershocks, the next big aftershock for this quake of the 28th would be within the next probably 16 hours.
Okay, and location?
Again, Indonesia.
It's still around there, so they just keep getting zapped in.
Well, that's just an aftershock of the 8.7.
Now, do you know magnitude when you make these predictions?
Sometimes. Mostly the ones that really affect me are over a 6. Although Mount St. Helens can create a major problem for me in the 3s. So it depends on the event. But volcanoes normally create much more symptoms than just earthquakes do.
How many other people in this country, on this planet, Charlotte, do you think are earthquake sensitive like you?
Well, originally, since I kind of came up with this back in 1976 and did all the testing and everything, I didn't think there were very many people. I felt totally alone. Now I found there are hundreds, if not hundreds of thousands, of other people all over the world. I have people in Israel and India and Pakistan and Chile and all these different countries that are writing to me and having the same symptoms I am.
Now, what's this about if you're craving popcorn?
Oh.
You might be aware of something?
Okay, we have found that people that are biologically sensitive or are picking things up, even if they aren't aware they are, for whatever reason, 2 to 3 days or so before the quake, usually within 12 to 72 hours or less, they start craving corn products. And
strange.
The easiest, of course, is popcorn, but it can be corn chips or corn nuts or you name it, anything. Some people just literally go and open a can of corn and eat the corn right out of the can in the middle of the night, no less.
Almost like an obsession? They have to eat it?
Well, I believe, from my own research on this, is that it's the choline in the corn, the B vitamin, that our body is craving.
No, but what? How does that equate to the possibility of an earthquake then?
Well, because from what I could understand from my own experiences, that our body must be depleted of that particular vitamin before events. Perhaps it depletes the body. I don't know what the reason.
I wonder how that would work. Yeah.
But I know that before the Mount St. Helens event, before the Mexico quake, before the one here in Oregon, you could not find a box of microwave popcorn in the grocery store.